Today up here with me I have Brian Burns, who's the husband of one of the victims that were murdered. I have her dad, Chuck Thomas. Good voice, sorry. So rattled today, sorry Chuck. And Sean Burns, a good family friend of our sister and our nephew. I want to start out by saying we don't want this to be glorified. We don't want this to be something that people are, you know, thinking negatively about our family members. Our family members today, and Brian will show you a picture of his wife of 15 years, being together for 30 years, and his oldest son. So this is our sister, Bonnie Goodvoice Burns, his oldest son, Gregory Burns. And in the crowd today, we have Bonnie and Brian's three other boys, Dason, Mason, and Grayson. Today we're going to do a three-step process here, which is actually talk about our family members, about the people they were, so people understand the loving, caring person that Bonnie was. First and foremost, we have two communities that are very close here, which is my community, and a lot of my family are in here, aunts, uncles of Bonnie, from the Muskeg Lake Cree Nation. We are close to the James Smith Cree Nation people, through sports, through activities, through ceremony, through everything that we've done in our lives. And right now, it's a difficult time for our families. The second piece that we're going to talk about is, I know a lot of people are out there wondering what happened. Well, honestly, we don't know. I'm going to try to piece together what I know, because I was at the scene on Sunday with Brian. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And some of it will be a little bit harsh to hear, but we're going to speak the truth. The third thing is the impact of what's happening to the other three children that are here with us today, and Brian and his family, and the support that we need for a GoFundMe page to help with some long-term trauma here. So that's kind of the three-step process. I've got my communications person here, Sean. I'm not sure if there wants to be a scrum after, but I'm asking the media to be respectful of who I am. It's not about me. Please don't use my title. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a title. This is about our family. This is about the horrible, senseless act that took one of our family members away, two of our family members away. What I want to talk about is Bonnie Lee Goodvoice. She's a member of the Wahpeton Dakota First Nation. She was a Dakota woman, and she still is a Dakota woman. In 1990, it's a long time ago, she met one of my crazy buddies here, Brian, and I don't know, but I was talking to my uncle the other day, and I said, yeah, I was talking to Brian, and he's like, who the heck's Brian? It's like, we all know him as Buggy, right? Because that sense of laughter that you're hearing right now is what Bonnie and Brian did all the time, was laugh and joke, and those are the things that we need to remember. They've been married for 15 years. She moved to the community of James Smith Cree Nation. They've got a home. They've started raising their family, which is Brian's late son here, Gregory, who is 28 years old. We've got Dayson, who's 13 years old, and Mason, I think, is 11. And I was going to call him by his nickname, Pablo. Pablo, yeah. Grayson. So I don't know how he got that name, but we know him as Pablo, right? So this is how it is in our country where we grow up. It's all about relationships. It's all about family. It's all about nicknames. It's all about laughter. It's all about joy. It's all about humbleness. One of the things that I can say about my sister and Chuck's daughter and our niece and our relative, family came first, her family. We always talk about in First Nations culture, the matriarchal society. She lived that. She was always at home with her children while Brian was out there working, playing sports. She was always with her family. She was the caretaker of her home. They had a beautiful home. And that's what we want people to remember her as. She's not a victim. She's a hero. And what you'll hear secondly is why she's a hero. And when we talk about Brian and Bonnie, it goes unnoticed for all the work that they did in their community of James Smith Cree Nation. Bonnie was working at the school for the last few years, providing for her family.
She was also a foster parent,
She was also a foster parent of two kids in her care at the time of this terrible incident. So raising about six kids and all the numerous kids that she helped before. She always put other people before her. That's what we want people to remember. We want people to remember how she made you laugh, how she told stories at Christmas functions, at kids' birthdays, at weddings, at celebrations. That's the reality. And when we talk about what Bronnie brought to her community, the things that I noticed the day that I was at the scene was everybody came up and talked about what she did for the James Smith community. She was married into that community. She would help volunteer at cooking, at doing whatever she had to do, and she'd make Brian come along all the time, right? Because they did things together. And when we see this and we listen, we have to remember those things because the situation that occurred shouldn't happen to anyone. No one whatsoever. You know, I sit back and I watch and I listen and I watch these things on TV and I'm like, man, oh man, how did this happen to our family? Why did it happen? We have no answers. But what we can talk about is what family means to all of us and what Bonnie and I don't even know why I keep calling Gregory because his name's Jonesy. That's how we knew him as Jonesy. That was his nickname. And when we think about myself as her brother, I was hardly in my sister's life. She had her family, I had my family, but every time our side of the family got together, she was always there at Christmas and that kind of stuff, bringing the boys, and I'd always argue with Pablo about who's the boss is, and today he told me he's the boss and still doesn't give me a reason why, but I understand and I take that direction. Because the most important thing to my sister and to our niece and to Brian's wife was the kids. She made every effort to provide for her family. She was sober for 15 years of her life. And those are the things we want to remember. We want to remember how she made an impact in your lives as individuals, how she made an impact in your family. And today when we sit up here, I could be replaced by any one of my family, and they know that, but I have to be take on the torch of the responsibility of our family. And it's not about leadership, because when I look in this room, it doesn't matter if you have a title or not, you're all leaders of your families of people. And we've got to remember that. We're all human. And I keep thinking about this all the time. I'm just a kid from the res. And why did this happen to our family? Why did this happen to all families? And I want to make it very clear that we're not talking about any other families here, because that's not our place, that's not our right. We're talking about our family, and I think the public needs to know who Bonnie Lee Good Voice Burns was. She was a member that made a difference in people's lives. She was a sober person. You go into her home, it was a beautiful home. It was filled with love and care. And the children always came first. And when we talk about that, we talk about our nephew or the son, the grandson, 28-year-old boy. His life taken away from us. This young man had opportunities to work. He was fully employable. He had lots of tickets and opportunities. He was a great kid. He worked in the community, he built houses. He did whatever he could for his family and trying to help his mom and his dad and take care of his three brothers. And those are the things we want people to recognize and remember. During this difficult time, we're just climbing a mountain now as a family, both of our communities. And that mountain is the devastation of what happened to our family member. And what it's going to take to heal from senseless acts as this that happened to our community, our family, our province, and our country. Let's not focus on what the reasons are. Let's focus on people that were taken away from each and every one of these families. Our family, because that's our focus. We've got to focus on what we can do to help other people, and we've done it. This has affected our treaty territory and other treaties, Treaty 6 territory, the lands of which you all gather on today. And when I think about what the future looks like, my sister, our family members, they'd want us to move on. They'd want us to heal, but to never forget, and to carry love in your hearts, to carry compassion. be united, to think of other people. We've shed a lot of tears in the last couple of days. But at the end of the day, we loved our sister, Brian's wife, Chuck's daughter, our niece, our nephew, our grandson, because they loved us too. And that's what we want people to remember. As difficult as it is to not show emotion, we're hurting. We're broken, but we're not defeated. This process of a family is something that is rich in all of our First Nations people. When we look at our community as Muscat Lake Cree Nation, James Smith Cree Nation, and all of our friends that support us from all the other First Nations in the city of Saskatoon and all the small towns, we say thank you for that. We thank you for your generosity, for your kind words, for your support, for your guidance, because this is a difficult time for our people. It's a difficult time for our family. I'm gonna kind of get a little bit off track here and talk about the day. Today is Sunday. Today that I was at home with my family, sleeping, and these alerts kept waking me up. And I looked at my phone and I had messages from my family. And a long-serving family member of ours has always taken the reins to be the leader of our family, but told me to call him through a text, so I did. And he told me what happened to my sister and to my nephew. That morning, I couldn't think straight, and I was worried about the rest of my family, what was going on. So I told my wife, I gotta go. And I went alone to the crime scene. There I was phoning my niece O'Brien and asking him where he was. He was doing something that him and his family loved, which was horse racing out in another First Nations community that weekend, providing for his family. Driving to the community that day was the longest 2 hours of my life, not knowing what to expect. In the back of my mind, I thought about my family. What are they thinking? Hope they're holding each other, hugging each other, telling each other they love them. Those are my thoughts. When I got to the community, I went to the community health center and I asked where, what, who. And one of the community members said, we're going over to see your sister. Brian had phoned me and said, this is where he is. And for the people to know and understand this, it's probably a natural feeling for all of us to feel anger. That was my first initial thought. And it's okay to feel those feelings, but those feelings aren't going to solve anything. I've gotten a lot of advice over elders the last couple of days of to grieve properly. And the support that I have for my family and all the people inside and outside of this room that have contacted us and sent their well wishes and they're thinking of us. And I basically told everybody, we've got to think of these three little boys that are here with us today, and Brian and Chuck, because they need our support. As much as it's hard for us to grieve, for a lot of people sitting in this room, you didn't know my sister. You didn't know my nephew. You don't know my family, and that's okay. And the reason it's okay is because it's a community coming together. The old saying goes, it takes a community to raise a child. And whether we're First Nations or non-First Nations people, we all got to come together to raise children, to make sure they all have a quality of life. And that's what my sister stood up for. That's what my nephew stood up for. One of the most things that has traumatized me through this whole process was the visual scene that I seen that day. When we got there, it must have been about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This incident happened probably anywhere from 6 to 7 in the morning. My first reaction when I got there was to go see my sister and my nephew. And touch her and hold her. Couldn't do that. None of her family could do that. Right outside of her home, she was killed by senseless acts. Her son, she was protecting her son. She was protecting these three little boys. This is why she's a hero. She's a true matriarch of the First Nations way of living, which is our women take care of our homes. The most shocking things right now is this piece. And please, I'm going to ask the media not to do this, because it's not right. What you're about to hear is very serious. I told you about my sister and my nephew. The second oldest boy, Dayson, was also stabbed in the neck. He's here with us today. He survived. These children have seen everything that day. And they sit amongst you as people. And that's what we want you to know and understand. And I'm asking, out of respect, please leave them out of it. This is a serious time for our family. But when you think about what I just told you and the nonsense of how this act has destroyed our family, how can somebody do this to women and children? Words can't express the pain that we're feeling. Trying to piece it all together. me and Brian were there all day watching, trying to get to our sister, asking the RCMP, and I have a lot of respect for the RCMP because what they did that day of processing the crime scene, forensic units, coroners, they had a big job that day within that community. As you've all heard, there was multiple scenes. There was three people at this scene, at my sister and Brian's house. That day, and can't get it out of my mind. Just to fast forward things a little bit, that night I went home. Wife asked me how I was doing, I was okay. Tried to sleep that night and I woke up in the middle of the night just screaming, yelling. Because what I seen that day, can't get it out of my head. But I have to let people know that because this is how terrible that scene was. And I said this earlier, this is about, it reminded me of the movies, and to me this is not a movie, this is real life scenario about what happened to our family. My interpretation of what happened is what I'll give you today, but let me be honest in saying this, we don't really know what happened. We just know that our family members were killed in their own home, in their yard. That's what we know. When I got there, one of the ladies came up to me and I asked what happened. My sister was trying to phone for help. My sister phoned the actual lady we were talking to, and I can't. I don't want to send her, I don't want to say her name. The other one. The one that was helping us when we got there.
Oh, Rhonda.
So one of her good friends named Rhonda. Bonnie was actually trying to phone her, and Rhonda said I was sleeping. This was early in the morning. Because Rhonda was part of the community response team that goes to situations that happen like this in the community. Couldn't get a hold of Rhonda, she said, and got a hold of this other lady. And I'm not going to mention her name because the media has this already. But that lady went to our sister's house to try to help her and her son and her family. And she got killed. And when I spoke to Rhonda, she was first on the scene, I believe. Sean was also there too, as well, to my understanding. And so I said, we're just trying to piece this together, but it's not. Please don't listen to rumors, to innuendos. Please don't assume. When they got there, Jonesy, our nephew, our son, was laying there. He was already deceased. He was stabbed several times, I believe. My sister went out, tried to help her son, and I think she was stabbed two times. And she died right beside him. The lady that came there to help was an innocent person trying to support her community, trying to help, and she died right there as well in the driveway. Things happened on the inside of the house that we have no access to right now because it's still an active crime scene, I believe. these kids, Brian, his entire family, left with nothing. They left without their IDs, bank cards, nothing. Everything's still in the house. When we were trying to focus and see what was going on, trying to piece all of this together, we watched our relative lay outside for 4 hours while, this is when I got there, from probably 7 a.m. to I think the body was released by the coroner by 5 p.m. Those 4 hours that I was there from 1 to 5 were probably the longest 4 hours of our lives. Trying to make sense, trying to listen to people of what was going on and try to figure things out and understand why, trying to make sense of it. And when we think about why this happens, only people in that house knew what happened. Bonnie's not here to tell her story. Jonesy's is not here to tell her story. But the story is, we have 3 kids that survived this horrific trauma within our family. These 2 young boys woke up to screaming, not being able to help. One of the young boys was hiding behind a high chair watching everything unfold. I think after when these gentlemen left or whatever happened, I think they had to pass by their mom and that innocent lady and their brother laying outside. And they were taken away to family within the community to hold, to hug, to make sure they were safe. The 13-year-old boy was taken to hospital. He spent the night. And that young boy right now is angry. He's traumatized. So when we talk about what happened to the media, to everybody that's going to watch this, we don't know. And we want to leave it at that. We need the RCMP to do their work. We need to let the professionals do their work. And we need to support that work. We can't point fingers, we can't blame, can't look down on people. We just got to remember, these were victims of a serious crime that's affected our family. Because the serious nature of this, is something that I've never thought of. And I said, like I said to each and every one of you, I'm just a kid from the reserve, man, just a young boy. I never thought going through this, just like all of my other relatives sitting in this room. We didn't want this. We didn't ask for this. As our family sits amongst all of you, we are still continuing to help other families that are affected by this. That's the strength of our families, and really looking out and supporting. And I know my sister, our family members would want that. We have another journey right now, and that journey is to have the coroners release our family to us so we can actually spend a couple more days with them before we lay them to rest. We don't know what day that is. We don't know when that's going to happen. But that's our next journey. Right now, what I've asked a good friend of our families is a lady by the name of Bonnie Leesk, who's here today, if she can come up to the front. And I want Bonnie, what I want to do for our family is, because what we do at our organization is we support a lot of families through trauma of trying to deal with people's pain so they can have a quality of life. And right now, what I'm asking the general public is to not look down on our sister, on our nephew, but to see if there's a way within their families that they can actually support a GoFundMe to help these three young boys through their trauma. I've asked Bonnie and her team to set up a GoFundMe page, and I'm going to let her explain that, please.
Thank you. And thank you, Mark. And thank you from our family. For all your support. We've had a number of calls for people reaching out to support the family in the best way they can. And after discussions with the family, they've started a GoFundMe page, and you can find it on the GoFundMe site under Remembering in Memory of Bonnie and Gregory under Shelley Arcand. my cousin Mark here spoke deeply and passionately about the supports that are going to be needed for all our families as we go through this, especially the three young boys and Bugsy as they carry on. And so we ask for your support. They're going to need some very, very supportive and solid mental and traumatic therapy as they go forward. So thank you. And I know that there has been some communication out of the James Smith Cree Nation about a GoFundMe. the family has talked to the leadership at James Smith Cree Nation to let them know that they are starting this fund for the boys and the family. So thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. When I look at the seriousness of this nature, all I can think about are these kids. I stand up here, I sit up here, and I show a picture of myself with my sister. It's no disrespect to my family or the other family, but they've got many, many pictures of them with Bonnie, with Gregory, and we're going to show those pictures when we gather as families. We're going to laugh and we're going to joke and we're going to remember. We're going to get on our healing journey, but it's going to take time. And we ask for that respect in time, because I just learned today that Gregory has two children of his own and a third on the way. We want to support those kids as well, because they're part of our family. If there's any way we can support the foster children as well that Bonnie and Brian took care of in their home. That's what Bonnie loved to do, was to take care of kids. That was her passion. She was a matriarch of her family. And that's the Indigenous way. That's the First Nations way. But I also I also want you all to know this as well. Through our family, we have one of our aunties that's been affected by this traumatically, as she's related to 70 of these victims. That was her home community. So you can see the devastation of what this is to our family. We say prayers and we say good thoughts for everyone that's affected by this, because it's affected our nations, our people, our communities. And when I think about my sister and her brother that's not here today, Sheldon, he's grieving in his own way. There's three of us. But my sister always grew up with our auntie and our uncle in PA. Grew up with her three cousins. I'm not going to mention their names. They know who they are. We took care of everybody. Now it's our job to step up and pay it forward and pay it back. Because those are the lessons our sister and our family have taught us. And when we think about how we're going to move forward, if we can support this GoFundMe page to support these kids, this is strictly for our family. This is strictly for the healing of these children that have faced a lot of trauma, for Brian and his family. We don't even know if this family can actually go home to their house because of what it looks like. I hope we can have another place for them to call home, to build their family and have a place where they can start over, because there's a lot of trauma in that house, in that yard, in that community, and we understand that. To my understanding, these young boys want to stay in the community and be with their friends and go to school there, and that's what we're going to support, because that's what's going to make them happy. Well, we're going to help them build a future. And that future is to get the help they deserve so they can all have a quality of life like each and every one of us. I've asked Brian and Bonnie's dad if they want to say anything. They chose not to. And we respect that, because they're dealing with a lot. We're all dealing with a lot. And today we want to make it about our family member, because we want the people to know she was a great mother. She had a great family. Her children were her priority. Her home was her priority. But she's never going to be forgotten. Didn't matter what you did in your life, she was proud of you. As we are all proud of her, because when I say we're proud of her, her family was first and foremost, and we all supported that, and she did a great job in raising her family. Like, when me and Brian were talking that day, Mama Bear took care of her cubs. We could talk to her like that because she would sit there and laugh and she would joke back. I really didn't like being in a room with Bonnie and Brian though, because all they did was laugh at us and just continue to laugh and joke and just and tease, and but that's who they were. I was always the brunt of some jokes, and I was okay, but I didn't have nothing on my sister, man. She was a great woman. Her life was cut short. Gregory's life was cut short. But as a family, we're going to carry on. We're going to carry on and get through this terrible tragedy that nobody wanted, nobody asked for, nobody woke up to. It still feels like it's a nightmare. Doesn't feel real. And the reason I say that is because me and Brian watched his family lay out there all day, and we couldn't do nothing. That's probably the hardest thing that I wouldn't wish on any one of my family members, to see, to live through. When we think about people passing away from natural causes, those are still hard, but we find a way to get through this. This is really hard. This is really hard. You know, even when I think about my own family at home, my wife April and her mom and dad, her sister are here, my daughter. They've been so supportive through this whole process. Trying to let me help. Giving me advice that I gotta grieve. People, you know, in our office that I work for ask why I'm still at work. And why I'm still at work is because I've been taught by my family we need to help other families. We show humbleness, we show support, we show love, we show compassion, because we're there for everyone. In closing, we ask the media if you want to ask me questions, we'll do this without everybody not being here. But we really want to focus on my sister as being a hero, my nephew being a hero. They actually died trying to save the rest of their family. That's my perception of what I see and what I've seen. But again, we still don't know the truth. I want to thank all of our friends, all of our families that are here with us today, sharing your hugs, sharing your love, sharing your support. Not just our family, but many other people out there need the support of this community, this province, and this country right now. And when we look at this, please show respect to our family and some of our family members don't want to be having pictures taken of them, especially to our nephews, our children. We've got to focus. If anybody wants to ask me anything, there's other family members that want to come and stand in front of the media. You're welcome to. It's not about me, it's about our people. And we'll do the best we can to give you the answers that the people are searching for. And we've gotten a lot of calls how people can help. I want to thank Bonnie and her team for creating a GoFundMe page. If you can help, great. Just by you saying you support, by sending text messages, you don't know how much that means to all of us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for the condolences. We thank you for the love. We thank you for your friendship. And we thank you for being with us here today, for honoring our family members, because it was our responsibility as a family to come and speak on behalf of our family. And we pray for all the other families that are affected out there. And we hope they can find support and closure as well, moving forward through this traumatic experience. Because it's going to take a community to come together. And that community is this province and this country. So with that, I want to thank you on behalf of Brian, Chuck, the children, the family that are here today. We really do appreciate your support. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for your kindness. And we thank you for respecting our family's wishes at this time, as we still got a steep hill to climb, but we're going to climb it together, and we're going to climb it united, and we're going to be there for each other. And we thank you all for your support. Sona Naskamin, thank you on behalf of our families for being here today, and we wish you all the best. Hi, hi, Naskamin.